All righty, welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. We're going to be talking in a wee while about new filters on TikTok. One in particular, it's called Bold Glamour. It's very difficult to detect whether it's a filter or not. We can talk about that in general. Any TikTok questions? We've got influencer Eric Roberts coming into studio. So maybe you've got some questions about it. Maybe you are looking for some advice or, as I say, have a question as it relates to a younger person using TikTok. Eric will be in with us very shortly. That and so much more. So stay right where you are. Right. Hi, Greg and team. I'm just wondering if you could put it out there on your show, a question regarding remote working. And if there are opportunities out there, perhaps someone could advise. I wish to remain anonymous. Of course, that's fine. One, are there more opportunities now and where are the right websites to look for these roles? I mean, admin, data, entry roles and the like. I think that is an excellent question. So we're talking about remote working and even in the last conversation there, I referenced it. But how do you do it? Where are you recruited from? So any advice out there for you in the remote working world, where does one go to find a role that might suit them? Second question, are there any companies, recruitment individuals who have knowledge in this area who could come on and talk about their company's opportunities or where to look? Or perhaps someone who's working from home and they know their company is recruiting. Yep, we've done that in the past. We can do that again. This caller believes that this would benefit a lot of mums in particular if there are opportunities out there. So maybe you've got a bit of a background in remote working, an understanding of it. Maybe you're aware that there's loads of companies looking for remote workers in Donegal. I don't know. Let us know if you have any advice for that listener. 086 60 25,000 WhatsApps and texts, or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. Or maybe you're a business that is looking for someone to work in admin data entry roles and the likes. Well, we've got a very eager person here who seems ready, willing and able. And as I say, if there's enough interest in it, it's something you guys feel we should do a feature on, more than happy to do that to anything that helps. The building in St. Connell's was left wreck and ruin after the mental health ward had to be abandoned. Should never have happened. Bad management by the HSE. No forward thinking. What does that tell us of what happened of the day-to-day running of LK Hospital? What you heard from the HSE, they're looking at that now. Totally agree with the empty buildings at St. Connell's and thinking how millions is being spent on warehouses for storage, outpatients, etc. throughout the town. I think St. Connell should be used more as a ward for patients, not more administration space. Surely patient space is more important. Dookery and Letchamacher Ward surgeries are both closed. Try joining surgeries in Letterkenny, but none were taking any new patients. What are we to do? Any advice? Hello, Greg. Yes, it would be a great if life could get back to normal living, as it is good to be able to go out to socialise again. Thanks, Mary Ferry. Yes, indeed. I think it is for most part. I think that what we're talking about here, there are some services that, let's face it, I think the pandemic was used as a smokescreen to make certain decisions as it relates to certain services that are provided to the public. But in terms of, you know, getting out there and doing stuff and interacting, I'm kind of more talking to people that are not doing it by choice because they remain fearful. You know, we want to reach those people and make them, give them advice or opportunities or suggestions as to how they can not be isolated and can return to life as it was before the pandemic, or even, as I said earlier, you know, for the first time, make new connections, new friends. There's lots of stuff going on, and we were talking recently of some initiatives in a couple of the smaller areas of Donegal where, you know, there's information nights about so much that's happening in the local area, but it's a case of putting person A in contact with service B, isn't it? Good morning, Greg. These old people aren't... Oh, I don't want to refer to them as that, if that's okay. Good morning, Greg. Older people aren't going back to normal life because the CMO and her like told them for years life wouldn't be going back to normal. This is the new normal they always talked about. Well, the new normal, you might remember, is a phrase that I refused to use on this program right from the very beginning because I thought it was a load of nonsense. There was a reaction to something at the time. We need to assess whether that reaction was correct or not and learn from it. But, you know, life has to return to what it was before. There's no new normal as far as I can see. And as I say, it's great. Maybe it's a good opportunity to reach those people that are living different lives now and get them back to the way they were or improve them further. Morning, Greg. What a fantastic ambassador for our county. Fionnuala will be in her new role. Maybe I missed it, but you didn't ask her the big question. Will she contribute to the entertainment updates on a Friday? Of course, but that's the, you know, you look at her CV, you've got, you know, lots of stuff there, but the top three that we all know of, there's That's Entertainment on a Friday at the top, then, you know, CEO, or I don't know how the chamber and the I presume, yeah, that doesn't matter. The top one is That's Entertainment. You can be sure of that. All right. Okay, you're welcome back to the programme. We welcome into studio now Eric Roberts, and he is, amongst other things, an influencer. Eric, how are you getting on?
Greg, how are you getting on?
What is the life of an influencer before we get into the nuts and bolts of why we invited you on?
God, it's a good question. I don't think my life's any different to anyone else's, to be honest. It's all very new to me. I kind of started over lockdown, and it's kind of snowballed from there, and I'm just enjoying the process.
So, I mean, in the first instance, it's entertaining people or informing them, isn't it, really? That's
essentially what I try and do every day, just make people's day a bit brighter, make them laugh. And I think I'm quite transparent with my content on Instagram. I show a lot of family life, and I kind of just take the piss in myself more than anything else, and people seem to enjoy it.
And is it a career, do you think? Not for you at this point, I mean, generally speaking, do you think, like, influencing can be we need a new phrase for it, I think, really, because, you know, I'm not comfortable, say, on Twitter, where the people that you connected with are called followers, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't like to refer to my followers.
Like a cult almost or something.
Exactly. And I'd be uncomfortable talking about being an influencer. I don't know if you're the same. It's the phraseology of it. It's not.
Yeah, I think,
anyway,
I think
it
it's
is what it is.
I think it's probably changed in recent years, and it's gone from influencer and it's now more content creation.
Yeah, I agree.
I think people are a lot more authentic, and I think people can see when someone's not being honest with what they're posting online. And it's essentially you're just letting people into your life. As I say, I post a lot of family content and a lot of humour-based stuff, but majority of it is just me and my authentic self and what I'm doing day to day. And I think people can see through it when people aren't being very honest. So I think it's gone from my life's so great, look how good I am, I'm an influencer, to now just content creation, and you're going to follow people that you enjoy the content they're making.
You talked about authenticity, and, you know, going back, there were some question marks about people endorsing stuff and all that type. I think the public now are seeing through that a bit. There's a bit of legislation. You're far better off being straight with people, aren't you, if you're in it for the long haul, Eric?
Absolutely. I think now when you're kind of building a following online, you're trying to build a brand around yourself. And if you're looking to make any money off it and work with different brands, you have to have a good relationship with the people that are following you. So you have to be honest with them with regards to what you're posting yourself.
Mm. Where are you getting most traction at the moment? Where's your stuff being consumed mostly?
Well, I've around 500,000 followers now on TikTok, and I have around 150, 160K on Instagram, and it all started off with TikTok. I mean, TikTok's incredible for growth. There's always, whatever you're posting online, there's going to be someone that wants to watch it. That's the amazing thing about the algorithm. It's going to reach whoever it needs to reach. And the kind of the Instagram following, it just kind of spiraled over from the TikTok, and I'm now consistently posting on both and really enjoying doing it.
The thing with TikTok, and this is, and I think the other social media platforms are kind of struggling to catch up with it, in that it will it tailors the content to you. So if you change what you like, it will follow. You know what I mean? It will give you what you like. Whereas, sort of with Facebook and Instagram, you kind of get locked in there. Do you know what I mean? You follow someone or whatever, or you might end up blocking them. You know what I mean? You're having to do the work. Where TikTok, it's so clever that it will, if you're choices change, or I kind of go off someone or whatever, it'll stop feeding you as much of that. It's very clever.
Absolutely.
I mean, it can be used for nefarious reasons as well, of course, but in terms of, you know, it means that if you continue to produce good content that people like, they will get it.
Yeah, I think Facebook is quickly becoming like the yellow pages, and it's almost very outdated. And I actually deleted my Facebook because all I was doing on it was looking back on old memories and stuff, and I was kind of living in the past, and it was people that I don't speak to anymore, and I'm seeing that they're off in Crete for a week, and I'm not going to speak to this person for another 10 or 15 years. And I think TikTok is still in a very early phase where the FYP, the For You page, tailors to exactly what you want to consume. It can be a dangerous thing at times, because sometimes I'll find myself consuming stuff about crypto or stuff I've no interest in, and it's just the more you watch of it, the more you're going to see of it. But I think it's really amazing that when you're posting on and you're creating content, that content's going to reach people that really want to consume it, and that's the real power behind TikTok.
Yeah, and listen, that's where it's at the moment, and still, I mean, there's still some people get a lot of value out of Instagram, but if you note, you know, all the talk seems to be about Twitter, you know, Elon Musk paying $44 billion for it. But the reality is very few people are using it as an influencer platform. Celebs really aren't using it. When you compare it to the amount of traffic on TikTok, for example, globally, very few people are using Twitter. You know, I think the place with the most influence at the moment is TikTok. And I mean, not just for 12-year-olds, 25-year-olds, right across the board. You know what I mean? In the wake of that awful tragedy in Turkey and Syria, I was getting most of my news, hard news and information from TikTok, not Twitter, not Facebook, nowhere else. And I think that's really interesting element to the platform.
People love that instant gratification and the video format and stuff. Even like longer form content like YouTube and stuff has taken a bit hit because people are just constantly scrolling and all the information's there in front of you, and you can physically see it as opposed to going searching for it and reading articles and stuff. You're getting like frontline news reports from Syria, from the earthquakes, and it's an amazing footage, and it's just there on your phone, and you can immediately then go on to something else and be entertained by something else. So it's that instant gratification that people are looking for. And I know that other forms, other content now is following suit.
Like, struggling though, I think there's
real estate and stuff now who they've changed their websites to scroll content. Mm. Do you know what I mean? You can view a video of the house and you can scroll and scroll. So everyone's kind of following suit now with even Instagram with the Reels. They're following suit. So everyone's kind of following suit with TikTok, and I think it was ahead of its time, and now everyone's kind of following suit with that.
Yeah, but I think the YouTube are trying to get into the shorts market. Facebook, of course, already, and Instagram, part of the same company, but they're so far behind. What you're seeing is TikTok videos being reproduced on these platforms, and that's not fresh or new content. People see through that. Anyway, listen, just was very really interested to get an overview of the landscape with you, Eric. TikTok is... And all social media is fantastic, and also it's crazy all at the same time. And I think with the emergence of AI, it's getting even more complicated, you know, with deep fakes and the way voices can be changed and all that type of stuff. And bold glamour, we're going to talk about that filter that's out there at the moment. This is something else. Talk to us about this filter.
So I was sitting in my dressing gown the other day, and I found this filter, and I thought it was hilarious, and I stuck it up, and I think the video now is on around 5.5 million views, and it was essentially me describing what it was doing to my face. It gave me lip filler and new eyelashes and pearly white teeth, and I just said how ridiculous it was, and I think everyone kind of agreed. They're getting so good now, these filters, Greg, that, I mean, you could start an account now with a full head of hair and people would genuinely believe that it's you. Do you know what I mean? It's... The AI.
And I could move my head around.
Absolutely,
like,
you know,
this is not just an image. Like, I could make an account whereby I had hair.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, obviously people that know me could call me out, but 100%. That's how good it is.
The danger of these things now, probably especially for young women, young girls, is the upkeep of it. So if they do start to put up some content using these filters, they feel like they consistently have to do it because people wouldn't recognise them. And that's the kind of danger side of it. But I think people very quickly realise that these are filters. Do you know what I mean? It's very hard to not see through some of them. I mean, I don't have long, luscious eyelashes or pearly white teeth. So everyone was very quick to jump on and have a laugh with me about it. And I think that's the best thing you can do is have a laugh with them. But I think people could put themselves under pressure to kind of keep the upkeep of these looks. So
I'm thinking maybe particularly, you know, young girls that, you know, that they could end up, like, I would have concerns that maybe you share them that it could be damaging in that, you know, you start using these filters, you get your compliments, then do you post yourself? Or what? You know, the pressure then is on, and it's already so pressurized out there in general society, then you take it into TikTok space. And I think even the call-outs, people calling you out for it's going to be really quite hurtful. What do we do about that, though, Eric? I mean, is this life now?
I think, as I said, if anyone has an interest in creating content, putting up their authentic selves, then I think the main thing you need to be is your authentic self. Mm. If you fall into the trap of putting up these filters, and some of them are so minuscule that it might just give you a slight tan, or it might give you slightly darker hair.
Smooth out your skin.
Yeah, and they're so hard to notice them. But it's just best to avoid them early on if you are thinking about getting into that realm, because the more you do it and the deeper you get into it, the more anxiety you're going to feel over not using these and maybe going out into public. And if you do build a bit of a following, meeting these followers, and they mightn't recognise you. So I think it's just best to avoid them. And my only advice to anyone creating content is just be your authentic self and be as honest as you can with it.
Yeah, but I think that's your market, you see. This is the problem. Because, like, you know, you don't go on TikTok for people to say, you're looking fantastic
well,
today.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I do.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't make your day or not. But do you know what I'm on about? I just feel for maybe younger fellas, younger girls going on, you start getting that those compliments, you know what I mean? And like, you can point the camera at yourself and you can look like the worst day of your life, right? And you can interact with the camera, live video, and look fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's hard to resist that.
That is the danger. That is the danger. You know, I think the more you read into it, the scarier a place it can be. But as I say, it's probably young girls and stuff that have the biggest battle with it. Because for them to have the confidence to go on and post something of themselves online, but then they're adding these filters and stuff, it can have quite a negative effect. Yeah. So it's for me, it's just best to avoid them, obviously, but it might be a different story for young girls.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the reason why I thought it quite important to talk to you. Firstly, to learn a little bit about yourself, Eric, but also to empower parents and guardians to have these conversations with younger people. Because, you know, if the truth be told, how many parents know precisely what's going on online or what's being posted on TikTok? You know what I mean? I think it's gone away from the dances now as much. Do you know what I mean? That we've moved through that cycle, I think. So you have to come up with something else, and there's trends coming along all the while. I just think, you know, because I think it can bleed into people's well-being in the real world, that we need to be talking to young people and having this conversation with them rather than about them, Eric. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you think about that.
Absolutely, and it's always important for parents to know what's going on, what content their children are consuming. But there's so much available online now on TikTok and stuff with regards to education. There's so much amazing content that children today can consume, and I think the parents now that have the kids that are watching these TikToks are in their 30s and their 40s, and they know how to use their phones, so they can go on and see what kind of content they're consuming, and it would take you 5 seconds to scroll through their FYP and you can see what's on the algorithm. So it's very easy to monitor these things.
Here's the flip side, Eric, and this is why it's such a complex issue. This listener points out that many women, in terms of body shape, the looks, the clothes, the makeup, that they feel under pressure. They want to use social media, right? But they feel under pressure, so under pressure about their looks, that they feel compelled to use these filters. I get that. I can understand how someone...
I completely understand it. I mean,
but
if a woman...
that being said, is you're not living you. That means that you're not good enough. And I think that talks maybe to a wider self-esteem issue or about you. Do you know what I mean? If you're putting yourself out there and there are detractors or people that... You know, find people that actually believe that you're good enough as who you are rather than succumbing to that pressure, because that's a symptom. That's not a solution as far as I would say.
I think with some of these filters, though, they're not necessarily changing the construct of someone's face. Like a woman can go and get her tan, her makeup and her hair done for a night out. These filters just mean they don't have to go through that process.
Yeah,
Most of them are still looking like themselves. It's just they've been glamoured up. Like that filter we spoke about that I posted, the filter is called Glamour Look, and it essentially just gives you a full face of makeup. Do you know what I mean? So it's not necessarily changing how these women look overall. It's just giving them that slight bit of confidence they have if they're not feeling their best, they're not looking best. There is positives to these things as well. It gives women confidence to put this content out that might be helpful to someone else. So there's a couple of ways you can look at it, but I think longevity-wise, it's obviously not good to consistently use these things.
Yeah, I think you're right, okay. And as I say, just for the younger people, to talk all this through like me and you have. And you know, say if there is a younger person in your life that is using these filters, why are they doing it? Is it because they make them feel better? Is it because they're being bullied? Is it because they feel under pressure? Is it because they lack self-esteem? You know what I mean? So I think these conversations are really important. Could be nothing. They just probably enjoy filters and they're perfectly happy.
That's it. I mean, they might like the way they look, and that's essentially
it. Is there a filter for hair, just by the way?
There's a few on there, Greg. You might find something that works for you.
I'm 25 years like this. I might stick it out at this stage.
never
booked the flight to Turkey yet. Might do. I don't know. Listen, Eric, continued success. What are your handles so people can check you out?
Instagram is eric.roberts__ and TikTok is ericroberts44.
You've something on tonight, do you?
I do, yeah. I'm actually hosting the premiere of Creed 3 for Warner Brothers now up in Dublin.
What?
So I'm heading up the road.
Wow.
Yeah. Very, very exciting.
That's
it's
kind
of, it brings the following's brought a lot of opportunities, and I have no idea what I'll be doing this time next year, and that's what kind of excites me most.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get into radio presenting. Any jobs going here, is there?
Always opportunity.
We'll have a wee audition now. Welcome back to Highland Radio. Eric Roberts and Greg Hughes here. Up next we've got ABBA. Gimme, gimme, gimme.
Well, if I was a hiring fire, you know, you can't beat eagerness, and you've done it there. That's your audition. Why not, Eric? So that's a cracking gig to get, because it's a huge film. It's been heavily pushed over the last few months. So you're going to be on the red carpet, or
yeah?
Up on
so
a
it's
stage,
it's only kind of recently I've got into the presenting
comparing kind of thing, is it?
Yeah. So it's I'll be basically introducing the movie to the B and C list celebrities that might be there. I don't think Michael B. Jordan himself will be there. And I think I'm bringing my mother. She's hoping he's going to be there. So we'll see.
I think it's fantastic. Well done. And I'll tell you, I was chatting to Marty Morrissey yesterday on this program, and it's kind of a bit of a hobby horse for me. I'm too old, but for younger people, it can be very hard to break in to the very small club that's here. Other words, there's a new show coming up on a certain national station, and then someone from 2FM gets it, or someone, and that's fine, don't get me wrong, but they're hiring internally, and we've got people like you and other amazing talents all over the country. That'd be great to see them get a shot.
Yeah.
But the brilliant thing about social media, and this is the same for bands and what have you as well now, is you can make your own opportunities.
100%.
You can bypass that stuff. Do you know what I mean?
I was in my career job, and that was what I was going to be doing for the rest of my life as a special needs assistant. And when the following came, all these new opportunities came, and it's the excitement now of not knowing what it's going to lead to is incredible. I mean, all these opportunities are coming, all these doors are opening, whether it be TV or stand-up or presenting or acting. I've just no idea what I'm going to get into, and I'm trying as much as I can this year. That's what I said at the start of the year, just try as many new things as you can. So I'm just enjoying the process, and we'll see where it leads.
Streetwear, smart casual, or tux?
I'm going to go smart casual tonight, I think. I was actually invited to the Spider-Man premiere last year, my first premiere, and I assumed everyone would be very
dressed
classically
Spider-Man.
Dressed. So I got a three-piece suit arrived to the cinema, and people were in tracksuits and stuff. So.
Hey, well, do you know what? You stood out.
Well, there
it
you go.
Make, and it doesn't matter.
You can never be too well-dressed.
All right, listen, Eric, congratulations. That's a cracking gig for you to get, and all through your own hard work. So I think that's a brilliant story. The demo's in the bag for Highland. We'll see what comes from that. But we wish you nothing but success into the future. And thanks for coming in and talking to us about the world of social media. And maybe it's helped some parents and guardians out there if they want to talk to the young people in their lives.
Hopefully.
Or themselves.
There you go.
Right. You're welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. We're joined on the programme now by Roisin Gallagher. Roisin? We were having this discussion a little earlier on. It's Roisin up here, isn't it? Roisin?
Yeah, it's Roisin, but I don't mind. Some people really do mind, but I don't mind.
Yeah, down the county, I think it's... I'm called Craig, so it's not even my name. Yeah, all the time, Craig.
You're not Craig?
I'm Greg.
But you're actually Craig.
No, I'm Greg, but I'm called Craig.
Oh, I get it. I'm not even Roisin, I'm Roseanne. And I didn't even really know that until I was a teenager.
Well, my name is actually Jonathan. come here, listen, lovely to talk to you, Roisin, and have you back on the show. And we talked to you in the past. What is it you've been working hard to establish, Roisin?
That's a very, there's lots of answers to that. So as you know, I started off going on about the hub about 2 years ago, the homeowner hub paid support. So this is where it all stemmed from. We need support. We will not get through this situation if we do not get the support to help people through it. So fast forward, I, worked on the hub and worked on the hub then with Joy Beard and James Beard. Then I realized as a teacher, we need support in the schools. So I developed the schools program. So I've always been harping on about support. So before Christmas, I put out a message that I would set up two support meetings, one in Inishowen and one in the Letterkenny area. So that was just to get people together to talk, to support each other, give support, feel supported, and just get together, because I really feel strongly that we need to be together and be able to support each other in a physical space, you know. So going from then, that meeting, started organising the venue, spoke to Brian Margie because I wasn't sure about venues in Letterkenny. So I was in touch, obviously, all the time with campaigners, long-term campaigners, Brenda Tierney Joyce, Joy Beard and Claire McDade. So the four of us have got together, and in January, the redress focus groups really took off. We worked really hard to, you know, tease out how this would work. I knew we needed a volunteer call out because we cannot expect such an enormous issue to be dealt with by six or seven people, or even campaigners, you know, widening that out a bit.
In fairness, you see, that could start off with the best of intentions and it'd be fantastic for a while. But the scale of this, is such that it could easily then run out of steam, couldn't it? And that's why you need a lot. So in terms of those affected by defective concrete, and they're all over the place now, unfortunately, in growing numbers all the while, and there's even a cohort out there that have it and are still going through that denial stage. And that's part of that journey. But we know it because, Roisin, you know yourself, we've talked about this over the years, and there are stages that different people go at different times. So there's still people that are going to be learning this news all the while. And especially if we start getting access to a cheaper diagnostics, do you know what I mean? I have a feeling numbers are gonna explode. I think there's an awful lot of people holding out, waiting to be able to, under this new scheme, whenever it comes out, are waiting to get those core samples to perhaps confirm their worst nightmares. You know, I mean, we hope lots of people get good news, but Roisin, you know better than anyone. So at the moment, then, what the Redress Focus Groups initiative, is that an umbrella? Is that how we might describe that? And if that is an umbrella, what is then beneath that, Roisin?
Yes, that's an umbrella. So, of course, we started off small and this has grown like to a huge thing. But we realised that the issues were massive. There were so many issues and so much work to be done. So, yes, the Redress Focus Groups is an umbrella. And underneath that is 15 focus groups working on 15 issues. So this has given an opportunity for homeowners to, you know, instead of shouting at the radio, wanting to throw their phone out the window, feeling really stressed, this is empowering homeowners to come to us homeowners. We've set a starting point with these 15 issues. Lots of people out there have great ideas. There are lots of people out there that want to get involved. We wanted to give people a chance to feel empowered and have a say in their fate, in their future, in their children's future, and be a part of rebuilding Donegal. So these 15 groups, and then there's a 16th, that's a support group for the application form. I'm going to read out the 15 groups, Greg, the titles, if you don't mind, because I think it's very important that people know what is entailed in these 15 groups, because and nobody would be able to argue the importance and the depth of work that needs to be done on each of these issues. So defective block scheme regulations and rates, market accommodation, owner hubs,
Roisin,
schools,
just Roisin,
school
sorry,
programs,
one moment, Roisin. The line just dropped there. No, because I want to make, because it is important, I want to make sure everyone heard. The line dropped there a little bit. So start from the number one again, Roisin.
Sorry there, Greg. Yeah. Defective block scheme regulations and rates, marketing and media, temporary accommodation, homeowner hubs, schools and schools program that's working with young people, banks and insurance sector, customs and finance, technical and building, political and lobbying, science and testing, human rights and humanitarian issues, health impacts, mental and physical, quarries and suppliers, buildings other than residential, statistics and data gathering, and then, as I said, our application support team, which
now,
is my act.
Listening to those, every single one of them. And I think it's an amazing what is done actually in breaking them out, because sometimes you can't see the wood for the trees. It's here, there, it's everywhere, right? But wow, when you list them out, all of them legitimate, all of them complex, it really talks to a reminder of the scale of this and how it impacts so many different people in so many different ways, with so many different threads there within Roisin. It really underlines the extent of this absolute crisis we're trying to deal with here.
Well, you're saying a reminder, Greg. I have a real concern that this isn't a reminder. I think there's a lot of people on the front line within the council, the government, local and national, who actually do not see the wood for the trees. They don't see the bigger picture here. I mean, the fallout of this in years to come is going to be absolutely nothing that we've ever seen before. So this is just the tip of the iceberg, as you say. So people are suggesting 10,000 homes. What about the businesses and community buildings and public buildings? You know, this is such a massive issue with so many details needed and to be looked at, that all of these groups are working really focused on each of these issues. So we need volunteers to come forward in each of these groups to continue working. This is an ongoing initiative. We don't have any results. We won't have any results tomorrow night when we go. This is going to take a long time. But as far as not being able to see the wood for the trees, look, I have a bit of a suggestion. I want, first of all, people to be able to come along tomorrow night at 7 o'clock to BERT, to the On Green Inn Hotel. And that is where the people from these groups that are, have already been working on these issues for the last few weeks will give us an update of what is happening. That is open to everyone, not just volunteers. All property owners, which is what I'm trying to say more often other than homeowners, because property owners, this is, everybody needs to get involved in this. Come along, have a coffee, get some support and listen to what is happening on the ground and volunteer yourself if you want to, but you don't have to. So the suggestion that I have is, I don't want to come on here and tell people what to do, how to do their jobs, but I do think that we need to regroup and sit back and listen for a minute. We need to, I know for a fact that our local councillors are having trouble maybe understanding what exactly, how big this problem is. They've said to me and they've said to other people face to face, what do you want us to do? What, tell us what to do and we will do it. What can we do? They feel like they have no power, but they do. So my suggestion to our councillors would be, if we could all work together, which is the basis of this, what we did here was create a starting point for people to come along and do what they feel they can do to help their situation. I think we should do that with the councillors as well.
Well, does that with respect, okay? And I hope everyone knows that I would anything I'm trying to do with this is to try and be constructive, okay? Do we need a reset then? Do we need a space where politicians, councillors particularly, of all political shades, feel welcome? Because, of course, and I get it, we had the big push to get people down to Dublin, right? The councillors. But those who didn't go down for whatever reason, and listen, they're not going to roll up now to a meeting, are they? Do you know what I mean? So you're going to get half the council engaged at this point. I mean, if you want all councillors pulling in the same direction, like they would claim they are already, don't get me wrong, does there need to be a bit of a relationships reset then between those affected and campaigning and the elected representatives? Because we are only going to achieve anything pulling together when we've had the problems and we've had the online slaggings, but maybe we need to reset a little bit.
Absolutely, we do. We need to come together. This is bigger than me, bigger than you, bigger than any councillor, bigger than any TD or minister, spats online. That's all ridiculous. We have a major problem, which is going to affect the entire county of Donegal, infrastructure, tourism, investment, all of that. And whether or not you're in an area where it doesn't affect you or you don't have many affected homes or resident or properties, it is going to affect you directly if you are living in Donegal. So what I was going to suggest was that the councillors, we would like them to come to the meeting tomorrow if they want to, that's fine. But within their own chamber, within their own membership, the 37 councillors, I would say, should get together and break into teams. And like we've done here, separate out the important issues that they can focus on. So say, for example, you have 8 or 9 teams of councillors with 3 or 4 or 5 people in each team, and they have one issue and they focus on that issue. And I hope this is taken in the spirit that it is meant, so that we can work together through this issue and get it resolved. So if one team of councillors has an issue, say for example modular homes that we were speaking about earlier on, 4 or 5 councillors work on that one issue and they work alongside doing all their other daily tasks and things that they have to do as councillors, but that is their focus with the defective block scheme, with the defective block crisis. So they give themselves a timeline. They exhaust every avenue. So with, you know, they contact their executives within the council, the department, the housing agency, local contractors, local find out sites that are going to be available, where they're going to be needed, why that area, blah, blah. And then they give themselves a timeline. Say three months, they figure out where the sites are going to be. 6 months, those temporary modular homes begin to be built. And they do not stop focusing on that one issue that those group of councillors work on until that issue is resolved. Yeah.
Like I think that's sorry, Roisin, there's a delay in the light. It's not you. I know exactly where you're coming from, and I think in an ideal world that's the way it goes. But in certain areas of the county, you might not get the benefit of dedicating so much time to defective concrete because it might not be the principal issue. The party politics are involved. Like opposition politics after opposition councillors after the next general election are going to have a completely different role if Sinn Féin are in power, for example, and then the Sinn Féin councillors probably will end up having a different role. Such is politics, unless something changes drastically, don't get me wrong. And then there's a lot of people out there, Roisin, and don't want to be negative, who feel that as far as this government is concerned at this point now, they believe they've done enough. For right or wrong, they believe they've done enough. And it's not really going to be them that are going to be making any changes. It's going to be down to whether or not Sinn Féin back up all the commitments and all the promises they've made. So in other words, we're kind of in no man's land, are we, until there's a change of government. So, and I'm just putting this to you, Roisin, and I hope I'm not being negative, but I just want to have everything out for the purpose of the conversation.
All of those things, this defective bloc crisis, this is what I mean about not seeing the bigger picture. This transcends all of what you just said. Parties, who's in government, who's not in government. So if that what people think they might have done enough, the problem is far. We're at the tip of the iceberg here. It's not even touched. Whoever thinks they've done enough, that's definitely not. So if they're working on something and the government changes, then they can pass on that file, those files, to the next person that comes along. The work needs to be done, needs to be started, and it needs to be urgent. So we need to go above, beyond party politics and all this nonsense about, you know, we are not in politics, we are homeowners. So to be treating us like we are part another political party where we are playing games together and having meetings on the same night as homeowners are having meetings, I mean, that's silly. We're law-abiding citizens. We didn't do anything wrong. We're not going into political games here. This is our lives, and it's very serious.
Yeah, so a good starting point for all you've talked of is the On Green in a Hotel in Burt at 7 p.m. on the 2nd of the March. That's tomorrow, of course. And I mean, you know, I think even new faces, people who've been isolated in this, and for themselves, because they haven't really got the news or they haven't been prepared to sort of maybe step out into this world, the people that are you'd be very familiar with, everyone to come in. And presumably there's opportunities are there for people to enroll if they wish in some of these groups, because a lot of hands make the work lighter, obviously. Right, okay.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. That was the whole basis of it. You know, it's got an email address. If you can't make Burt tomorrow night, you can email at any stage. redressvolunteers@gmail.com, and you can sign up tomorrow as well if you want at the meeting. But as you say, Greg, a lot of people are burying their head in the sand, and I've been saying to people, keep your head there if you can, because it's hard to campaign all the time like this. But if you feel like when you're ready to come forward, this group will be there waiting for you if you want to take part in being a part of the solution of rebuilding Donegal.
Yeah, okay. And listen, Roisin, you're solution-focused and a tireless campaigner yourself as well. You've an awful lot else going on, I'm sure. So I've nothing but admiration for you. We have contact numbers here. We have that email number there. Try and get along to that meeting tomorrow evening. A lot of good work's already been done and established in the Redress Focus Groups Initiative umbrella and the 15/16 strands that fall beneath that. It's just a case of getting everyone involved and not giving up and not sort of, you know, but then again,
not giving up. Feeling empowered is really the message. Working together to be stronger and stronger, and so that we tried the protests. We did the protests. A lot of good came out of a lot of work that everyone has done up to date. But we've a long road ahead. So this is just another maybe coming together in another way, other than protests. We can feel like we're being proactive and we're being a part of the solution. So like some of the things that are coming out of the groups is unbelievable, some of the work that's being done. So the banking sector, insurance sector, another big huge one is, and it's an issue that one of the councillors could take if they decide to, you know, work with the idea that I've put forward, is we do not have an accurate number or detailed amount, a detailed account of the amount of properties that are affected, the types of properties that are affected. And if we had that statistic, which should have been done on day one, we can do so much with that in terms of a structure going forward, how we focus on different aspects of this campaign. When we know how many people are actually affected, how many public buildings, how many businesses, and all of that. So that is a real important task, if people could take that on.
Yeah, yeah. And we've seen shades of that in the past. But as you say, agricultural buildings, social housing, factories, community halls, private residential properties. Yep, definitely. Okay, Roisin, listen, thanks very much for your time. I really appreciate it. What's the Facebook group that people can get more information and stay updated with as well, Roisin?
We're on Facebook and we're on Twitter. Redress Focus Groups is where you'll find us. And we don't want people to think that we're a new group or a separate group. We're literally four homeowners who organise this. So we're all in this together, as I say. We work very closely with, well, we can give information to MAG. They support this. And we work very closely with Paddy Diver and Lisa Doherty on the 100% Redress Group. But we're not under those as such. We're homeowners.
It's no, I think it makes a, I think it makes a great deal of sense to branch out, you know, not disconnected from, but to branch out, because this is a specific, at the very least, it just means the posts are focused on one particular thing, you know, which is, if, even for that reason alone, it makes a lot of sense. Okay, listen, Roisin, keep up the good work. Thanks for your time. I do appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, take care of yourself.
Thanks.
We'll chat again. All right, bye-bye. That's on Green and Hotel in Burt tomorrow at 7 p.m. Okay, we're going to be talking about all things beekeeping after 11. Stay tuned for that. Chris Ashmore is going to be joining us, of course. You'll hear him on sports bulletins here. Long career in newspapers as well. But he's got something else. A lot of you already are familiar with it, but it's a new, I don't know how to frame it. But anyway, it's about exercising. We're going to be talking to Chris about that and other stuff as well. That's part of Wellness Wednesday. So stay with us. As I say, Fergal, chair of the Northwest Beekeepers Association, is coming up after 11 as well. Greg, can you please ask, under the new scheme, is cost for testing still going to be 6,000 to 7,000 euro? No, it's not. I don't want to misrepresent the situation, but I think I'm pretty sure that there'll be a visual assessment that will have to take place. So in other words, an engineer will have a look at your property and say, yes, this is potentially a candidate. And then I think it's a cost in the region of 600 or 700 euro for testing. So it's going to be 10% of what it was there or thereabouts, I believe. Now, there are people listening that can correct me if I'm wrong. But that all happens when the actual scheme is in situ. My children go to the secondary school in Donegal. I think COVID is being used as an excuse to save money. Our children's classroom windows are open all day, every day. No heating is put on. The kids are frozen and my children are constantly off sick. Is this now? Is this in 2023 still? Windows open and no heating on. Another caller says 10 years should be given as mandatory sentence for all who break into houses. Animals also have to be safe in their homes. Then on leaving jail, half payment to live on for 5 years, other half to go to victims. That will put a stop to it. Punishment needs to fit the crime. Yes, I'm not sure what you're referring to, but time and time again, we see where really quite violent crime happens, encroachments into people's properties, assaults, and initial slap on the wrists, seemingly. And then you wonder down the line what sentencing might be handed down, or sentences that we have seen in the past. Not a great deterrent, I would argue. I'd agree with you. What point, this caller says, what point is there with Dara O'Brien coming to visit Micah homeowners? Leo was here, Micheál Martin visited, and if they didn't do anything, what is Dara going to do? Makes no sense, believes that listener. Okay.